I don't know, but you said some of those movies, so I'm going to go 38.
She is 38 and will be turning 39 later this week.
Yay.
Ding.
Hello, hello.
Is that John?
Yep. Yep.
That is.
Hey, John, we're in the middle of the intros. I hope you Roger. Enjoyed your, I hope you enjoyed your warm cocoa in the green room.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, thanks for all the special gifts in the green room, by the way.
You're welcome. Enjoy them. We always give our guests a little goodie bag to take home.
We stock it every week.
Now, on the phone, I believe we have John Schrania and Dan Gilman, correct?
Howdy. Yep.
That is correct. We're here.
All right. Just say hi, John.
Hi, John.
That's John. And Dan?
Yes, sir.
Give me a hey-o.
Hey-o!
There he is.
Okay. You know, we forgot our yo-yos. I almost said yo-yos.
We'll get with the program soon.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week.
Hey, you guys hear us okay?
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Yep.
All right, good.
And we also, John and Dan, and also the Kelly who couldn't make it tonight, right? Because she had to work.
Yeah, sadly she had to work. She couldn't make it.
They have a new podcast that they started. They're three shows in, and it's called Dead Tribe Paranormal. And we're sharing the links in the chat room. I know a bunch of you guys already like their pages. Thank you very much. And if you want to click on their, if you want to click on their link and give them a like, and you can follow when they're having a new podcast. And could you tell us before you have so many great stories to tell, personal stories? Could you first tell us about your podcast? When you started it, what kind of shows you're planning on doing, and how you got started with that?
Yeah, I think Jimmy, we were doing the investigating for a while, and we decided to take a turn and give this a shot. Our schedules are hard to get each other together, so we decided that we were going to give the radio podcast a shot and see what happened. We're basically we're winging it at the moment. We have probably about a dozen shows lined up with some ideas. So that's where we're at the moment.
Yeah, and I've listened to a couple of them already, and you guys are doing a great job. And anybody in the chat that likes our show, I'm sure you like John and Dan's and Kelly's also. And then if I'd like to say that you started telling me a story on the phone last week about when you were in middle school. And I told you to stop immediately because I like hearing the stories fresh, first on air. Is that the first thing you'd like to talk about, John, when you were was in middle school?
Yeah. Was that the story that I told you that I had taken a nap?
Yes. And then I stopped you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I was in middle school. I believe it was sixth grade. And, we had moved into a house in Vernon, Connecticut, and the guy had committed suicide in the house. He owned a furniture store, and his wife had left him, and he committed suicide. So that's the story behind it. Anyway, I was laying down. I was tired, and I rolled over, and I was on a waterbed. Now, we're going way back now, Jimmy. So I was on the waterbed, and I was facing a window, and you know how if on the old waterbeds, when somebody would lean on it, you would kind of tilt backwards?
Yep.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? So I started to feel that, and then I started to get cold. So that was my first ever experience. I didn't move. I waited about 10 minutes, and I got up, and I ran out of the house.
Wow.
Did you know that it was a house where somebody committed suicide before, or did you do research later?
You know, I did know. I know this is a story I don't tell very often, but when my dad got the job where we were moving to, he was offered that house. It was a week after the guy had committed suicide. And at the time, there was shades in my brother's room where he had committed suicide, and I guess it was his den. And they were the metal shades. So we're going way back here. And they still had shotgun bullet holes in the shades.
Wow.
So there wasn't much research, Jimmy.
Now, have you done? I haven't introduced myself yet. I'm the other co-host, Brock. It's nice to have you all on tonight. But
Brock.
Done any more? Have you been to that? Are you still around the house, or have you done any investigating in that house?
I haven't. We moved out when I was 24, I believe. And I haven't been back since. I have had thoughts of going by, but can you imagine somebody knocking on your house saying, hey, do you mind if I come in with a recorder?
Jimmy does it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
My neighbors love me.
So, I've wanted to go back, but I mean, I kind of know what's there. It was never bad. There was always different experiences. But nothing was ever bad. And that's kind of what got me going, involved in the paranormal and interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone out there has that one incident, that they've encountered that just flipped that switch and they wanted to go figure out what exactly is going on.
Yeah, it was, it was definitely interesting living there and going through that stuff. And we always knew that there was something there, but it wasn't so bothersome after a while. It was almost like having a roommate.
Did they clean up, do dishes, and clean the house?
Oh, yeah. He was very clean. He left lights on, which was a problem, but...
How did you get started doing that? Did you automatically go to houses, or did you start with haunted locations, or?
Just like any kid, Jimmy, it was the cemeteries. You know, starting with the cemeteries, talking to friends, the shows started. I got a divorce, and it kind of kicked me in the butt and got me started. I started buying the equipment myself, and found a few people that were interested, and the rest is history.
What cemetery?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I just wanted to know because we live nearby. What cemeteries have you gone to that I might know about?
Well, just locally, I hooked up with a group out of Naugatuck at the time, and the first cemetery that I had actually done an investigation with anybody was Guntown.
Yeah, Guntown's good.
Yeah, it was really good, and. Then after that, I would stay local. We'd head up to Massachusetts sometimes. But, you know, anyone you could get into, I'd call the police station and say, hey, you know, my name's John. I'm with Dead Tribe Paranormal. I'm going to be investigating in a cemetery tonight. And the first response is, you are nuts. But go ahead.
That was where I popped my cherry, too.
Dan!
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about some of the cemeteries that... That's how I started too. Like I said, there was no internet, and you don't just automatically jump into residential investigations. But have you been to Union or Stepney?
No.
Oh, I'm definitely a skeptic. I think being a skeptic going into it makes it more legit.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
If you went to Stepney or Union Cemetery.
I haven't. Union is one I still, even though I'm not really doing much of the investigating anymore, if I did have permission to go there, I would go.
Yeah.
They're very strict, and I do hear about a lot of people sneaking in, and I'm not one of those people. We usually get permission and then go ahead.
I just used to get so many great pictures and EVPs from there, and they really don't even let you park in the area without bothering you, you know. This was a great area for that stuff.
That's where the famous Lorraine picture was, correct?
The famous what?
That was the famous Lorraine picture, correct?
Yes, the one with the ghost in her hand. Or actually,
yeah.
I tried to take I got a picture of my wife with the little white stuff in her hand, and then I tried to duplicate it with the Lorraine one, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I met her 2 years ago, this past October, and I know it sounds crazy, Jimmy, but it changed everything for me.
Yeah. Did you say that you you're currently not investigating anymore?
Yeah, I've kind of gotten away from it, trying to concentrate on different things, just like the podcast. And you know, I'm busy. I have two children. I'm a single dad, and I've tried to you know, be more involved with the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. You hear a lot of teams and people kind of lately getting out of the paranormal. And I know you stated some of your reasons there, but I think it has a lot to do with also just the pretty much the black eye that the community gets because of all these shows. I mean, they actually had a pilot, or they were getting ready to put a pilot together for people investigating the paranormal in the nude. And I, you know, to me, you're starting to make, The field is kind of a laughing stock anyway, because of some of the show, and people are very taboo. When you're throwing shows like that out there, I think it gives us it pushes people farther away and say, see, these people are totally crazy. And I find that sad.
Yeah, you know, I 100% agree. There's also other reasons. You know, I have a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth about some of the people that were in my group and the fraud that went on, not in my group, but afterwards. So, and that's another reason that I wasn't actually going to bring up, but a lot of the pictures, and I've been on an investigation where somebody said they were scratched when we know it was a nail. So that kind of bothered me. So I backed away from it a little bit, as I had to answer questions all the time about, well, how do you know this? And how come you think this is real? And how can you prove that that's real? And so that got a little bit old after a while.
Yeah.
And for the record, I'm in with the nude show. I'll be on that show, and they could save money on that little blur, you know?
That's wrong. That's so wrong. That's so. Now, when you were investigating, did you just have pretty much basic equipment, the recorders, cameras, video cameras, and all that? Or did you have some? Did you have any more of the other equipment that you see a lot of teams using, like the night vision? Thermal. Sorry.
Yeah, we did the. I did the basics, but. It all got started with the equipment. Jimmy and I work for the same company, which I don't know if he'll mention on air, so I won't say anything. But anyway, I was in the store, and I met the guy who makes the equipment for the paranormal field, Gary Galka. Mm-hmm. He was on, I don't know if you guys remember the episode with Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
When his daughter, his 14-year-old daughter, had passed away, and he spoke to her all the time, and Zach and Nick and Aaron ended up at his house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I met him, and he told me to come by, and that's where I got all the equipment. He gave me a few deals on the equipment, and I was all by myself for a little while until I met a few other people that were interested in the same field.
Cool.
I think it brings us right about to break time.
Yep.
I'm Mr. Haunted with Brock Burrows, and we're talking to John and Dan from Dead Tribe Paranormal, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. After you're done, please listen to our other podcast, Rock Stories. In this series, we meet with music artists and bands that are out there keeping the scene alive. We capture and share their stories with you, the fans, and use their music as a soundtrack. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, the show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
Welcome back to the Haunted Chronicles. We're talking with Dead Tribe Paranormal. And I want to thank everybody who shared the invite page. And if I forgot someone, please let me know. Thank you, Becky, Linda, Maggie, Rick, Lydia, John, Fuzzy Paranormal Cat, Amy, and Bob. And everybody in the chat room that came tonight. Maggie, Renee, Mr. YOLO, Paul, Brock, Debbie D, Kara E, Barry, Kathleen, Dez, Chad, Cheryl, Heidi G, Dr. Dave, Nicholas, Russell, Headless Horseman, Roy from ESP, Jen G, Paranormal King Ross is here, Tracy's here from Paranormally Awake, Paula, Amy and Fuzzy from Southern Paranormal, and we got Lydia, Stacy, Susie, and Johnny.
Yeah, and I know Sandy is probably listening with Roy, too, so we're good.
And Sandy and Ryan, and I knew I promised somebody a shout-out, and I can't remember who it was, but Annie and Frankie B also. Heidi, Valerie, and Holly also. There you go.
Yeah, you can't forget them. Come on.
No. Mm-hmm. And just before we forget, there's a big show coming up on Sunday night.
Yes.
There's a Haunted Chronicle Tech Time mashup where we're going to be experimenting with backward voices and speech, not music so much, but we have a bunch of them from, I'm not going to give it up too much, but they're going to be really good. It's going to be a great show. And Brock, what time is that show?
It's 10 p.m. Eastern on your local station, paramaniaradio.com.
And that one's going to be a hoot, so please join us.
Yeah, it's a part two of the reverse audio. When we did the show the first time, we couldn't get you on because you had to go to work. So we thought, hey, well, we'll do a part two and bring Jimmy back and let him show his example. So it's going to be an excellent show.
It is. And let's see, where were we with these guys?
We're getting ready to talk to him about their house or John's house.
Yeah, John, before we get to anything else, you have some stuff going on in your house presently.
I do.
Tell us all about it.
So I moved into a condo about 2 years ago. Didn't really see anything. Didn't really notice anything. Probably, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago, first started, kind of feeling it. And then catch things, just like everybody says, out of the corner of your eye, and then actually seeing it. So a couple weeks ago, I had a psychic come in, very well-known psychic, Karen Hollis, and she came in, sat with me for a little while, and described the girl to a T of what I saw, which was freaky in itself. Very friendly girl. Her name's Eliza. She's 9 years old, and she passed away in the 70s from a head injury. This is what Karen told me. She's very friendly. She peeks her head around corners. She moves stuffed animals. And I know this sounds crazy. I'm the biggest skeptic in the world, but this stuff actually happens. My son came downstairs. This was a Tuesday morning, and they were off. I had slept in. He came down at 6 o'clock and I was still sleeping. Text me at 6:12. Dad, are you downstairs? I woke up around 7:15. I got the text and I thought it was weird because he had texted me and I'm still in the house. So I go in his room and he's laying in bed and I said, what did you need? He said, I saw a girl downstairs. She called my name.
Wow.
So as a father, you freak out at first. You don't know what it is, the unknown. So that's why I had ended up calling Karen in. And she told me there's really nothing to worry about. She just loves you as a dad. And she's been with me for 13 years.
Wow.
And that's all on episode 2 of Dead Tribe Paranormal. If you want to listen to that story, you can find us on iTunes and echopodmedia.com.
Cool. Yeah. And I posted the link to your Facebook page. So everyone got there and like it. It's in the chat room right now. And I'm sure you can get their podcast link to it right off there. And like I said, go check it out on iTunes also.
Yeah, and they'll also all the past shows are available, and they'll update you when they're having a new one also.
Absolutely.
So, Brock, mm-hmm. you want to get your use your tech expertise about the what kind of equipment that they use?
Yeah, we hit on it a little bit, but now in being that I do a show with the guy, our producer tonight, Dave, Dr. Dave in the chat room, Tech Time with Brock and Doc on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, we talk all about technology and how it's used in the paranormal and new items. Have you used anything in your current house to try to communicate or get more communication with what you're experiencing?
You know, honestly, Brock, I've always been against breaking out a recorder in your own house because I feel like it's an invite to other spirits that would want to come and talk. And from what I know, there's only one way to have a demon come in your house, and that's to invite it. So I'm really against breaking out any type of equipment. I've been asked a lot of times, can we do an investigation in your house? And maybe if I was by myself, but I have two little guys to worry about, so I'm going to pass.
Perfect. I was kind of hoping you would say something like that, because a lot of people don't understand that. And we hear other people, people that come to us, clients that, have been told that to run a recorder from a group told them to run a recorder, and they, you know, keep having, if not the same activity, or it escalates. And I don't think people understand that you kind of, the place where you're going to stay, you kind of want to keep free from all that, because you need a place to wind down. It's a great answer. I agree with you.
I do have a question about, I've noticed that some people have activity wherever they move. It doesn't matter, because it seems to follow mm-hmm. them or be attracted to them. And there's some people who have just one incident in one house. You seem to be one of those people that wherever you go, something might happen. Do you agree with that? Or
I do. I do.
It's Dead Tribe.
It that's where the name came from, Jimmy. Dead Tribe. I got a little tribe following me around. So, yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
What other places have you seen or experienced anything?
I at my girlfriend's house, I've experienced it at work. I wasn't sure, Jimmy, if I had told you about that one. People blame me all the time for what happens on there at work, and things move around or fall over. I mean, there was about 3 weeks ago, I was standing at a table at work, and we have a magazine rack. Nobody was near it.
That was an awesome freaking video.
And I'm, you know what, Jimmy, I'm going to send you that video.
Okay.
The magazines just came flying off the rack for no reason. And I just happened to be talking about a story, about an investigation that I was doing. So I found that kind of odd, and I like to debunk anything, and figure out other reasons for it, but there was nothing I could do.
Yeah, y'all are breaking up a little bit more, but yeah, and I think too. Oh, you're good, but I agree with what you're saying and what Jimmy's saying is. I think there's a few key people that are in the field doing whatever that spirits like to hang around, because they're friendly, they're easy to get along with. They're not sitting there going, I demand you to knock over this bottle and smack me across the face. You're just kind of there and letting things happen, and they kind of like it, and they just, you know, say, okay, I'm going to chill here.
Yeah, that, you know, that might have been something I did in high school, where provoking, I guess what we would call it nowadays. I was really against that, though. I'm not for provoking on an investigation.
Yeah. Yeah, and have you ever tried or thought about trying some of the different type of equipment with, like, the EM pumps and some of the other, what I like to call, experimental stuff? in any of your investigations before when you used to investigate?
Yeah, you know, the only thing I ever did that I really questioned, I had the basic equipment, but was the Ovilus. I purchased that, and to me, and I don't know, Jimmy, if you know much about that, but I it was there was just so many questions on how it worked and why it worked. You know, I that was the only probably piece of equipment that I was hesitant to use on an investigation, and the words that were coming through, most of the time they meant nothing.
Right. A lot of that pre-programmed stuff in there.
Yeah. Did you get the word demon a lot with the, because I've heard you get that a lot with the Ovilus.
Oh, did you have the same Ovilus?
No, I just heard, I refused to buy one of them just for that reason. Oh yeah, there we go. We got a demon in the chat room.
Yeah, I had a demon at work. I had a demon at home. I had a demon at the hockey game.
Well, you know, maybe demons like hockey too. I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and that's the problem I have with some of these equipment, you know, like the Ovilus, is it's you can't tell me that there are that many demons around that it's going to say demon almost every time you turn the thing on. I mean, I know they're probably out there, but not all the time.
Yeah, almost every time I would say that did happen. So that was probably the only piece of equipment. I mean, I used the basics, the K2, the recorder. I had my own camera system, handhelds, you know, the REM pod. The spirit box. That, honestly, I think the spirit box was probably my favorite piece of equipment. And I know that you had to distinguish between the radio and maybe a spirit coming through. But nowadays, there's no swearing on the radios, so I want to say that was possibly a spirit trying to come through.
John, before we get out of, we run out of time. Do you have a Lorraine story for us?
I do. This was kind of when everything was opened up for me, if that makes any sense. I met Lorraine, like I said, 2 years ago. It was October. And I went to a seminar, and I believe it was at Shelton High School in Connecticut.
I was there. You were there.
And you remember this story, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I met her, so it's legit to everybody listening. Jimmy was there. I met her before the show. I had a book. She signed it. I took a picture with her. I want to say it was about a half hour later, and it was probably 20 minutes into the show, and she basically stopped. And she said, listen, she said, I have to say something before I continue. I met a guy a little while ago. He had a gray shirt on. I just want to say, I know you're here. I won't point you out, but I want to say that you had the most brightest, purest aura that I've seen in a long time. And I just wanted to say that you seem so genuine and, you know, the other things that she said. So I was nervous, and because I looked at my friend Mark, who was in the group at the time, and I said, please don't be me, because I don't want to be pointed out. I don't want to be noticed. So she went on with the show, which is a great show. And at the end, she said, or her son-in-law, right, Jimmy? It was her son-in-law.
Tony.
You know, anybody who wants to take a picture with Lorraine, line up here, yada, yada, yada. So I said, Mark, let's go. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go. I was getting nervous. So I got up, and Mark said, no, let's go. So we went around the crowd. I said, okay, I'll go real quick. So I tapped her on the shoulder, and she turned around, and she looked at me, and she goes, it's you, and squeezed my hand so tight. It was an unreal experience. I was nervous. I didn't know at the time. I know it was only 2 years ago, but I didn't know at the time what the aura meant. And she told me, tell me about yourself. And I told her, and she goes, who would divorce you? So that was a little boost to my ego. So anyway, after that, even on the way out, I started hearing things. I heard, John. And I know it sounds crazy, but I heard it like the whole way home, almost like spirits were around me the whole time, and I started to be able to hear them now. I don't know if that makes any sense, Jimmy. I've talked to a few people. a few friends that have a lot of knowledge about that, and they said that that could have been the moment that it had opened everything up for you, your senses, to hearing them and feeling them and seeing them more often.
Yeah, my story to yours, one day in our classes that we used to have, one day she says, I'm going to read people's auras, and she had everybody line up against the wall one by one, and you know, she tells this person, oh, it's all purple, and she tells another one, it's so beautiful, and then I stood there, and she's like – scowled and said, it's nice, move along.
She looked over and goes, next.
Yeah, so God knows. I looked like,
I'll tell you that is one amazing woman, and I couldn't see her or talk to her enough, to be honest.
Yeah, see, I want to meet her. I'm trying to get Jimmy to line up something for me, Roy, and Sandy to go up and meet her and go in there and see the museum with Annabelle and all that. But I would just like to meet her before her time comes, because I've heard a lot of different things from a lot of different people, but we all know that there's a lot of rumors out there. But she's just had such a big impact on the field that just to meet her and kind of sit down with her for a little bit would be, you know, awesome.
I agree. I agree. That's a bucket list item right there.
And yes, we wouldn't be talking here if it wasn't for her right now. So
yep, you're 100% correct with that.
That's awesome. Now, did you never met her husband? Is that correct?
I didn't. I knew about him, but I never met him. I was always a little bit fearful of meeting her. I was with any psychic, just because I don't like being read. Almost like not knowing your future or not knowing what's happening. So I was always fearful of that, so I would avoid it. But I kept saying exactly what you just said. I'm hoping to meet her before her time comes. And finally, I got up enough guts to just go down. I just wanted to say, you know what? I met Lorraine Warren.
Exactly. I mean, that's pretty awesome. I know you say that to certain people and they'll be like, they'll be like, who? And other ones will be like, oh, her. But to me, yeah, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that I would like to do. And because I think she just, there's so much to learn from people like that, that have been in the field so long and have done so many cases, that I think would help and benefit a lot of other investigators.
If you don't know, she's the Michael Jordan of the paranormal field. She's an amazing woman. Yeah.
Now, are you on your podcast? Do you talk strictly about haunted locations, or do you kind of hit everything paranormal, like technology, a little taste of everything?
Well, we do kind of touch on everything. It's really about getting people together that have had experiences, and we just talk about it. We're going to take calls. We've got other episodes where we're going to do on-location episodes at a haunted location, which I'm pretty excited about. So, but there is going to be an episode where we take calls from people, maybe somebody that's had experiences, and or somebody maybe that doesn't know how to deal with it, and maybe we can help them, you know, reach out to a friend of ours that might be investigating to solve what's going on in their house.
Exactly, because I mean, it may be someone who's having issues in their house and stumbles upon your podcast and contacts you to say, hey, this is going on, and then y'all able to either help them directly or point them to the right location. I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest reasons of doing the podcast. I love answering questions. I love making people feel a little bit more comfortable in their own house if they have questions. I still have friends texting me or calling me or emailing me about maybe something going on in their friend's house. What should they do? And if I can't figure it out, I'll never leave them out in the dark. I'll find somebody for them.
We want to share stories.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we want to share stories too. So if anybody wants to call in, just send us a message on Facebook or go to echopodmedia.com and write to us, and we want to get you on air. We want to do basically anything that has to do with ghost hunting and ghosts.
That's my favorite, is hearing a ghost story.
Yeah. Now, I got a question. Have you all stumbled upon any stories from people that just kind of made you sit back and go, dang, I'm glad I'm not there?
Yeah. I mean, when we would get calls about investigating, there's so much, like I said, there's so much fraud out there. And a lot of people were doing it, not a lot, but there was some people that were doing it, you know, because they wanted to meet somebody that was doing ghost hunting, or maybe, you know, go out or experience something. So they would exaggerate a little bit maybe about what's going on in their house. But yeah, there was a few times where you go in there and you're kind of like, wow, you know, it feels real like heavy or dark in here. So yeah, there was a few times where we were a little bit frightened going in. I mean, I'm human. I'm allowed to be frightened. But I loved it. It was almost like an adrenaline rush.
Yeah. I think a lot of people overlook that and think that, oh, you all are in the paranormal, so nothing scares you. And there's two levels of being scared. There's a startling effect, and there's the grand old, oh crap, I'm getting out of here. And I think a lot of the stuff that we deal with is that startle. I mean, you kind of see something, you go, oh crap. And then you're like, oh, that's awesome. And I don't think people relate that. They always think that we'll go into anywhere and not be scared of anything.
No, there's fear. I mean, there's absolutely fear. You wouldn't be human if you didn't fear it. But it's amazing capturing any type of evidence when you do go, and being able to make the family feel okay and safe in their own place.
I think the fear is part of the fun. Just getting that rush, the adrenaline rush.
Yeah,
that's what keeps me going when I do it.
Yeah, it's more of a an unknown aspect that your brain kicks in and go, you know, that scares. That's kind of freaky, but I want to know why. It kind of sits you off in that direction of, I want to figure that out.
Yeah, that's what keeps you going, the unknown. I mean, there's always, no matter how many years you've been doing this, you learn something new every day, and it does. It keeps you going. There's answers to be found.
Yeah, I don't mean to take over the show from Jimmy, but another little question, thought I wanted to get y'all's aspect on is, do you think a lot of people out there today are jumping into this field for that rush, that adrenaline factor, and not more for the investigating portion and the research, that they end up causing themselves more harm by wanting so bad to see something or to be touched or whatnot that they actually get what they want, and then they have problems and they don't know how to deal with it?
I think you're right on when you say that. And I also think that a lot of it is, yes, for the adrenaline rush. A lot of it is, let's get some investigating. Let's get on TV. Let's get paid. I think what's been on TV has pushed people to that, you know, let's find some evidence, that type of thing. But yeah, I think, and people go on these places like cemeteries without permission, or, you know, abandon houses without permission, get hurt, possibly even die, and they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nicholas put it right in the chat room, thrill seekers. That's what I was looking for.
I was a thrill seeker back in the day.
Yeah, I think we all were. I think that's how we got started, Jimmy.
I still am.
I'll admit it. Yeah. Unfortunately, we only have a minute left. And I'll thank Dr. Dave for producing, Brock for co-hosting, Dan and John for joining us, and good luck with your Dead Tribe Paranormal future podcasts. I think you have a lot of new fans. And next week, we're going to have trivia night with Jennifer Runyon might be joining us. We're having trivia night, and the chat room will be included in trivia questions. And the week after that, we're having the return of Bill Hall, who has a bunch of new stuff to talk about.
Awesome.
And March 13th is off my grandmother's 99th birthday. Brock, any last words?
No, I just want to thank John and Dan for coming on. I'm going to go check out your podcast because I think it's really interesting. And I'm going to keep in touch because I think there's so much more especially in these radio shows and podcasts that we can do to help reach out to the people and show them and teach them how to do things right and not, and kind of get rid of some of the stereotypes from TVs.
I agree. And guys, thanks a lot. And definitely stay in touch. And like we were saying before, we have a lot of interesting podcasts coming up. But again, Jimmy, thank you. And look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Thank you. Good luck and good night. And we'll get Kelly on next time. Good night, fellas.
Good night. YOLO.
YOLO.
Unapologetic is the word that best describes the premier spoken word to music album from Lori Adver. Veering is 19 tracks of edgy poetry served on a platter of crazy rock and electronic music. You can listen to and purchase Veering by Lori Adver at echopodmedia.com under the music tab.
Hello, world. You're listening to Echo Pod Media.